Let's keep in context. I know you can read the Bible, and you should read the Bible when verses say something. You know, they're for now. They're not just for way back when. I understand that. But certain times, you also need to look at the context of what something's written, the time it's written. You can get a little bit better understanding. And that's what I'm trying to do this time around with the book of James. I want you to see the context in which this book was written. But don't think it's just for way back when. It ain't. It's for right now. You got it? Yes or no? But the context was, James was the pastor at Jerusalem of the early church. And there was incredible suffering going on. Okay, it wasn't a cool thing to be a Christian. It was a horrible thing to be a Christian. Life would be taken if you put your faith in Christ. Certainly you'd be disowned by your family, by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, by the religious leaders. Have your home confiscated. Have your business taken from you. Okay? And if you were fervent, you were spreading that horrible new gospel of Jesus, you'd be hunted down like a dog. You understand? Yes or no? That's what Saul did. Saul of Tarsus was one of those that was doing that. Remember him? Yes or no? Sure you do. He later got saved on the road to Damascus, became the apostle who? Paul. But he was one of many that did that, you know. So that's the context of how this little book is written. This is a suffering people. They're hurting. They're desperate. They're dying. It's horrible. And so either James could just hug them and pat them on the head, or he could love on them and tell them some hard facts and truth. The pain wasn't going away. But you can still have joy, he calls it, in the midst of your pain and your suffering. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay? You're not going to get up tomorrow and it's all going to be better. It ain't! But you can still have the joy of the Lord, which the actual word means to leap. He starts out this book by saying, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or different trials and persecutions and testings. James chapter 1. What does that mean? Leap! As you suffer, that you have Christ as your Lord and Savior. That you have a Savior who loves you. That you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit inside of you that's walking with you, knowing that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You see what I'm saying? Yes or no? Yeah, but this is happening, but that's happening. Yeah, but this happened. His death on the cross happened. This happened. Your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. This happened. This life is short, but eternity is forever. Amen? And He's refining you and changing you. You're growing in a deeper relationship and walk with Jesus when you suffer. We don't like to talk about it, but that's the way a deeper relationship is developed with Jesus Christ. It happens through suffering. We'd like it another way, wouldn't we, Amy? Can't I just take a class on Tuesday? No. Okay? So we've been talking about different subjects. Now let's talk about today's subject. He covers it. Here we go. Ready? Real faith, say it with me, means no prejudice. One more time. Real faith means no prejudice. There's no room for prejudice in the body of Jesus Christ. You understand? Hello? Yes or no? Okay? Let's read this, and I'm going to try to bring this back to the context a little bit, but let's just go forward and let's see what we can find. Let's move, Rog. We're going to have to go into warp speed now. Prejudice. Say what the word prejudice means with me. To cause injury or damage to someone. Say it with me again. Prejudice means to cause injury or damage to someone. One more time. What does prejudice mean? To cause injury or damage to someone. Do you think that's something God would want us to do to anybody, yes or no? To cause somebody injury or to damage somebody? It's crazy. I don't care how you were raised. Keep looking. Pop it up. So what's the big deal with prejudice? And we're rolling here. Just some thoughts of mine on the screen. You might say, I don't like a certain class or a color of people. So that's the way I was raised. No one was raised more in the deeper South than your preacher, okay? All right? And I have no excuse, and you don't have any excuse. So what's the problem with being prejudiced? Here's the problem. The problem is you ain't like Jesus. Listen to me. Yes or no? Well, I don't like it when somebody does this, and they you know, this color marries that color, and I just don't like all that. Who put you in charge anyway? Who made you God? Say. Nobody. It's a problem we have. We have to deal with it. If we're going to be like Jesus and have the love of Christ and actually have His Spirit in us and His presence working in us. He didn't save perfect people. He saved lost, hell-raising sinners. Amen? He saved screwed-up people. And that's why we read the Bible. That's why we grow in the Lord, so we can be changed. Amen? Say, that's what it's all about. This is part of our change. James 2, he starts out this little book, chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Are you telling me we're not supposed to respect people? No, that's not what it's saying. Not. Of course we're supposed to give people respect. But we shouldn't respect or have prejudice towards certain people and not towards other people. You understand? That's what he's saying there. My brethren, he's talking to Christians supposedly. Who's he talking to? He's talking to that persecuted church. He's talking to the ones who put their faith in Christ. And not everybody had suffered equal persecution. Not everybody had lost their home. Not everybody's daddy had been killed. Are y'all following me so far? You see, some still had their stores. Some still had their money. Some had money, now it's gone, it's taken. Hitler hadn't come to some people's houses, but he had come to other people's houses. You understand? And unfortunately, in that church, they were respecting those that had more than those that did not have. That's crazy. Have you ever thought about why you have what you have? Well, I worked for it. I did good. Did you know so many of us? Hey, baby doll. So many of us have because we're born in America. You ever thought about that? Yes or no? We're born in America. Or we were raised by a certain kind of parents or somebody in our life helped us with some values and work ethic and things like that. What gives us the right to think we're better than somebody else because somebody else didn't grow like we did? Say yes or no. Say. You understand? Whether you understand or not, you need to understand. My brethren, do not call yourself a Christ follower with respect to persons. Don't even call yourself a Christ follower. If you have more respect for somebody else because of what they have or because of the color of their skin or status of life than you do somebody else, don't even call yourself a Christ follower, James says. He's tough, ain't he? I like him. That's why I like this book. Talk to me, James. Smack me upside the head, James. Because I need smacking. Amen? I want to change in my life for Christ. I want to grow for Christ. I'll be 49 in May. I still feel like a kid, a big part of me inside. I want to grow for the Lord. I want to keep maturing for the Lord. I want to change. You understand? Hope that's how you feel. Talk to me, James. Let's learn something. Number one, real faith demands, say it with me, that you be not what? That's what real faith is. If you're going to have real faith, then you can't be prejudiced.
I can't?
Nope. Amen? Just can't. Say, I can't. I can't. One more time. I can't. One more time. I can't. Got it? Yes or no? Not if you're going to be a Christ follower. Not if you're going to say you have real faith. Let's keep looking. Stop playing a game. It's disrespectful. It's always disrespectful. And God, I'm going to tell you something. He puts a big priority on respect. Big priority. It's disrespectful. 2 Corinthians, just think about Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was what? Yet for your sakes He became what? That you through His poverty might be made what? See, basically, Jesus was the Lord of glory and is the Lord of glory. But He came down to this earth. He was born in a dirty, stinking, nasty stable. He gave up everything and became poor as dirt. And I'm sure people looked at him and said, that's that little poor child. That's a little dirt poor child. Can you imagine them saying that about Jesus? You think they said that about him? Sure they did. He did that for you. He gave up everything for you. He became poor for us. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. Say it with me, but the Son of Man hath not what? Where to lay his what? This church, early on, was giving respect to those that had money, to those that had food, to those that had their homes, to those that had their business. They were giving more respect to those people than the people who didn't have. And are we like, can we just take a real poll real fast? How many of us are like that? We feel a little bit of a draw to somebody that's successful, that has money. It's a little more easy to respect them. Can I see your hand? Yeah. And how is it a little more easier to disrespect somebody that doesn't have and they're just are poor and they smell or something? Is that right? Yes or no? Of course. We're just like that. It's called the sin nature. Amen? James is saying, don't even say you're a Christ follower if you look down your nose at poor folk. Don't even say it. Need to get a job! We're the salt of the earth, aren't we? Say, we're the light of the world. Is that what Jesus calls us, yes or no? We ought to be different guys out there in this world. I know there's people that are deadbeats that don't want to work and these kind of things, but the problem is you don't know all that. All you can be is the light of the world and the salt of the earth and to love and to care and to encourage and certainly not look down your nose. Yes or no? You hearing me? Yes or no? Tough message this morning. Good for us. James says, don't do it. Don't have this kind of behavior. It's a command. It's not an option for us. And I've got to keep flying. Listen, if being prejudiced is an option to you, then don't call yourself a Christian and don't say you attend Fellowship Church. And I'll throw one more in there. If you're cantankerous and cranky and mean as a snake and ill as a hornet and ugly as the day is long to people, please pull your little red sticker off your car. Now, if you speed or something, you can keep it on there. I'm all right with that. Sorry. Amen. We're not asking you to be perfect when you have the little red sticker on there, but if you're just going to be mean and ugly, come on. Craziness. Amen. Now, this is for point number two. Let's keep moving. Verse 2. If there come unto your assembly, to your church, a man with a gold ring, and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, nasty clothes. And you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, pretty clothes. And you say unto him, now you sit here in the good place at our church. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or how about this, you sit right over here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves? Are you not becoming judges of what? Say it with me. James is getting in our mess, ain't he? Sure he is. What's the second point? Prejudicial thoughts, say it with me, are what? Ooh, one more time, a little louder. Prejudicial thoughts are... That's right. Just because somebody had something taken from them or they didn't have anything to start with, or whatever. We're going to treat somebody one way and we're going to treat somebody that has something another way. The thing that won me over when I came to church with my mother years ago, she was a drunk and I was a hell-raising teen. I thought they would judge us. I did not want to go. I was mad. I cussed Mama out that morning with bad words. We walk to church like idiots. We are idiots. Every step of the way, we are idiots. Idiots, idiots. You're an idiot. We're idiots. This is stupid. This is the stupidest idiotic thing I've ever seen you do. This is dumb. Blank, blank, blank. And we get there. These people are going to judge us. These fools, idiots. And you know what they did? Accepted us. Loved us. And look at me all these years later. I'm in good shape. God's blessed me. Amen? Because I wasn't looked down on and judged. And I should have been. I could have been. You understand? This is huge, man. Just think about it. Rich here, poor there. Amen. Sit here, you stand over there, or sit on the floor, lower than my feet. Okay? Now, you might not have this problem. That's okay. But just think it through. It's good for us to just get that in. This kind of thinking is allowed to enter your mind by who? Don't blame that on somebody else. Okay? This kind of judgment is whose problem? Amen. Come on. Can't blame that on somebody else. That's the way I was raised. Well, you was raised wrong. Blame your mama or something. Instead of hurting other people. God's holy word calls it what? Can we say it louder? God's holy word calls it evil. Amen. Keep looking. Let's move on to point three. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in what? And what? Heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? James is trying to make a point. Yeah, you show preferential treatment to some of the rich people in that congregation, but isn't it not necessarily those guys, but isn't it people like them that have all the money that are dragging your tail before the courts and taking your homes and killing your mom and your daddy because of your new faith in Christ? Have you lost your mind? You understand this passage now, what it's talking about? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? Aren't they the ones that are saying Jesus isn't the Son of God? Wake up, fool! That's what he's saying. Amen. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, say it with me. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. You do well. That's why at Fellowship Church we say it this way. We love Jesus and we love people. Say that with me. We love Jesus and we love people. What kind of people? Yes. All people. Amen? Boy, if we'll keep that, I don't care what Satan throws at us. If we'll keep that as our focus, I believe we can ride any storm. Because God will bless that. You understand? Keep looking. What was point three then? If you're prejudiced, you cannot understand what? You can't understand grace if you're prejudiced. Aren't you glad that God doesn't look at you like that? Say, whoa, whoa. Yeah, God's basically saying, show grace to everybody equally. Show grace like He's shown you. Lots of verses, I'm going to read them real fast from Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of who? It's a gift of God. Not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast or brag or put himself up. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope. You were without God the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes way off, you're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom you're all the building is fitly framed together. Are you kidding me? There's poor folk in my building for Jesus. Say, oh yeah. Fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you're also builded what? For a habitation of God through the Spirit. Rich, low, poor, rich, black, white. We're the body of Christ, that holy temple. Y'all got it? Grace made all that happen. God has chosen the rich. God has chosen the rich in faith. Keep going. The poor who are saved are heirs with Jesus Christ. Keep looking. Riches in this life cannot be taken with you. Stuff that we know, we should know. Keep looking. Everything down here is going to one day do what? Or get washed away by a tsunami. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Stuff that we hold on to. The last point, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors, are convicted. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of what? When you look down your nose at somebody, somebody did wrong, you know, somebody did bad wrong, somebody what else? Guess what? Who else did wrong on this planet? Take a wild guess. You, me. Should help you. For he that said, don't commit adultery, also said, don't murder. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet you kill, you're become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Can we read this together? Pop that right there. For he, help me, shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Say that with me. Mercy rejoices against judgment. When we're prone to judge somebody, be prejudicial, to cause injury, damage to somebody, mercy rejoices when we don't do that. Whoa. When I want to judge, but I don't, mercy goes, yay. Don't you want to be people of mercy? Son. That's what James is trying to teach us. Last point. We're done. We're out of time. Being prejudiced is... One more time. Being prejudiced is... Verse 9 says it's sin and we're going to be convicted by God's law. Keep looking. Verse... It says it might be cool down here, but it ain't going to fly up there. Ain't going to fly. This doesn't fly with God. Verse 10 and 11... He says he lists a couple of comparable sins to prejudice. Say them with me. And about the two biggest granddaddies of all. And he says, you know what? When you're prejudiced, that's how I think about you. When you look down your nose at either poor folk or the color of their skin, he said, as far as I'm concerned, I think of the evil that is so evil. He says, I compare it to adultery and murder. This is not a small issue with God, what we talked about today. It's a very big issue with God. Verse 12, you want to be judged with liberty? Then extend that liberty to others and not predisposed by us. We're fallen creatures and we're creatures of habit. And so often we have a predisposed bias towards somebody and they don't deserve that out of us as believers. Y'all got that? Yes or no? We should never injure or damage someone because of some bias that we have. You want mercy? Last thing we're going to put on the screen. We're done with that slide. Then show it to others. Amen? James teaching us today, ain't he? Amen? You might feel like, well, I already knew all that. Well, you just let it sink in. It's going to help you. Amen? Come on. Let's praise the Lord for His Word and for His great teacher, James. Thank you, Lord.